The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Tomorrow can be bigger. Just grow, let the word overflow. Live a life bigger than yourself. You're created for greatness. Live a life bigger than yourself.
Welcome to Live Big with Bishop Derek Greer, Senior Pastor of Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. Visit gracechurchva.org for this message and to find out more about how you can grow in Christ. We serve a big God, and we believe that His Word calls for us to live big. So our prayer is that this broadcast empowers you to live a life so big that it blesses everyone and everything around you. Let's get into the teaching.
So open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Beginning with the third verse. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done at Jericho in Ai, they heard about the walls coming tumbling down. They heard about Joshua pointing his spear toward the city of Ai and 12,000 enemies being destroyed. Obedience is a little bit like a snowball. Once you get it moving, and the more you roll it in the right direction, the greater it becomes. And what had begun to happen is the children of Israel began to gain momentum and gain a head of steam. They won at Jericho. They ran into some problems at Ai, but ultimately they defeated Ai. And everybody was watching the people of God again, gaining this head of steam. In verse 4, it says, they worked, this is the Gibeonites, craftily. They had the thinking, if you can't beat them, what? Join them. You see, the Gibeonites understood that they could not defeat the God of Israel that opened the Red Sea for them and had done all the great miracles. They couldn't defeat them in battle. So what they did is they decided to trick Israel into making peace with them. You see, sometimes I'm not so upset just by the fact that someone lied to me, as much as the fact as I can't trust them anymore. I mean, when we can't trust each other, everything slows down. I mean, you got to check over your shoulder and things become more emotional and things become more tense. There's more anxiety. Trust is an environment where we actually operate at our best and our optimum levels. But at the outset of this relationship, the Gibeonites told some fibs. And it went on to say that they went and pretended to be ambassadors, meaning they pretended that they came from a distant land, and their whole relationship with Israel was based on a scam, on a ruse. And they put, this is pretty elaborate here, they put old sacks on their donkeys. Old wineskins were torn and mended. They had old and patched sandals on their feet and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. These guys really, really put on a show. But what they were trying to say is, hey, guys, we came a long way. This is why we look so beat up. This is why our bread is so old. So here's the proof that we've come from a long distance. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. You see, I don't know how they knew this, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 2, God forbade Israel from making any peace covenants with the tribes that lived in the land of Canaan. The cultures in that part of the world at that time were so morally corrupt, socially and spiritually. The old covenant offered no remedy. You see, in the old covenant, you couldn't cast out a demon. In the old covenant, you couldn't pray a prayer and become a new creation on the inside. So the old covenant had limitations. So God had to deal with people. It's not that God changed between covenants. It's the same God, but just different covenants and different things he can do under each testament. So in this case, God was a little bit like a surgeon who was forced to cut off a limb to keep the cancer from spreading. Now, it seems like God's being mean, but if he let that stuff continue to grow, it was going to affect his own people. So he had to cut it out and cut it off. Hard decision. But God made it over and over again to preserve his seed. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, we're about to see that they were suspicious, but not suspicious enough. Perhaps you dwell amongst us. Now, you know, I see all the old stuff, but something in my gut says that maybe this is not the way you're telling it. So perhaps y'all dwell amongst us. So how can we make a covenant with you? Every time, I have not stopped to ask God about that nagging feeling I have on the inside. I live to regret it. How many of y'all understand that? Same thing's about to happen with the children of Israel. Skip to verse 14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions. I guess some of the stuff wasn't all moldy. Maybe they took some sheep and some cows. I don't know. But here's the problem. But they did not ask counsel of the Lord. When it comes to dealing and resisting deception, a prayerless Christian is always a powerless Christian. The devil's been at this for a long time, and he's a tricky son of a gun. Can I say that in the church? I mean, the devil is crafty beyond crafty, and it takes discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit to see through his ruse. So Joshua anointed, but prayerless. Many of us anointed, but prayerless. And because we don't pray, we keep making bad decisions. So Joshua made peace with them. Not only peace, he made a covenant with them to let them live. Joshua drank the Kool-Aid. And the rulers of the congregation also followed Joshua's lead and swore to them. P.T. Barnum, how many of y'all remember Barnum and Bailey Circus? They shut down now, but most of us can remember. He said these words. He said, there's a sucker born every minute. I think he underestimated. I think more like every second, because I've been one of them. And it happened at the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that in fact they were their neighbors who dwelt among them in Canaan. So Joshua rented his tux, put on his bow tie, walked down the aisle in everything, and 3 days later discovered it was a lie. Betrayed, double-crossed, deceived, duped. But watch this. As bad as what happened was, the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, what happened here is these leaders would not allow one bad decision to escalate into another bad decision. They weren't going to let their prayerlessness devolve into breaking a vow. Because they understood that your character is never more solid than your word. Psalms 15 and verse 4, God says this, and I want you to watch how he defines the fear of the Lord, or having a genuine respect for God. It says, but he, or God, honors those who what fear the Lord, and then he explains or defines it. Those who fear the Lord swears to his own hurt and does not change. God honors people who make commitments and keep them, even when it costs. In fact, I'm going through this with a contractor. Man, I've been wanting to let this joker go for months. But I can't. I have a contract. And I want to do some tricky stuff. I had a lawyer on the phone. But this verse came to my mind. A man that fears God swears to his own hurt and does not change. You see, whenever we make a commitment and break it, we teach others, including ourselves, that we can't be trusted. Back to verse 16. You'll say ouch before you say amen, but it will get good. And all the congregation complained against Joshua and these rulers. But despite the pressure from the crowd, despite the pressure from the rabble, despite the pressure from their friends and peers, these leaders kept their covenant. Then all the leaders of the congregation said, listen, I hear what you're saying. I know they didn't do us right, but here's the deal. It's not about them. It's about us. We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. We said before God, till death do us part. And neither of us are dead yet. So I'm keeping my word. Therefore, we may not touch them. Joshua made a mistake. Joshua slipped up. Yet he had enough personal integrity to accept responsibility for his decisions. Don't tune me out. I'm going somewhere. Joshua 10 and verse 1. What we're about to read is going to absolutely blow your mind. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, he followed in the steps of Melchizedek, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it. See, the rumor is getting out that Joshua's on a roll. He defeated Ai as he had done at Jericho and its king, and now the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. So they feared what? Greatly. So again, the news has spread as far as Jerusalem, and you know, everybody heard about how Joshua was just crushing it, and everybody was terrified in the entire region because they might be next. Because Gibeon was a great city. You know, the Gibeonites were not some little city that had no army. This was some significant folks. Matter of fact, it seems like they were the very leaders in that region. They were like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were what? Mighty. So the thinking here is, if this powerful city, the Gibeonites or Gibeon, would surrender without a fight, who might be next? You see, the last thing bad people want is for the righteous and good people to get on a roll. So as much as the surrounding kingdoms competed with each other and perhaps hated each other and fought with each other, they feared Israel even more. I think it was Aristotle who said that nothing unites bitter enemies more than common danger. Verse 3. Therefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, king number one, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, king number two, Piram, king of Jarmuth, king number three, Japhia, king of Lachish, king number four, and Debir, king of Eglon, king number five, saying, come up to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon. For it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. The reason that all these surrounding nations attack the Gibeonites is because you can never trust someone who's best friends with your enemy. I had to learn that the hard way. Just one fake friend can do more damage than a dozen enemies. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, five more kings joined the original list. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, Eglon, 10 in total, gathered together and went up. And they and all their armies camped before Gibeon and made war against her. Since we don't have a map, what's happening here is Joshua's string of victories divided the region in half. So every king that was threatened, they would no longer be able to trade with the kingdoms on the other side of the ridge. Actually, there was a ridge there, and they took the high ground, and they were threatened. So all these kings came together to come against. Verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal, saying, don't forsake your servants. Now they say this because they understand what might be going through Joshua and the children of Israel's mind. Now listen, the only reason I'm in covenant with you because you lied to me in the first place. I'm having some second thought, but watch this. He said, do not forsake your servants. In a couple of verses, we'll see that more clearly. Come up to us, what? Quickly. Save us and help us. Here's what I need you to see. Though the men of Gibeon entered into a covenant with Joshua by trickery and by deceit, Joshua still maintained and kept his side of the bargain. He did not come to the Gibeonites' aid because they had integrity. He helped them because he had integrity. Joshua didn't help them because they were good people. Joshua helped them because he was a good man. Here's the question. If a human covenant, such an ill-devised covenant as this one, was so honored, how much more will God honor his holy covenant that's been written in the blood of his own son? You see, God does not rescue us because we're so good. He rescues us because he's so good. The Gibeonites said, come up to us, what? Quickly. Now, why do they say this? Because how many of us, I'll be honest, you might have kind of technically fulfilled your covenant or your vow. You've been like, well, I'm coming, but I'm going to move as slow as possible. I can't help it if you die while I'm en route. And this is where we keep the letter, but we deny the spirit of it. But not Joshua. He was a covenant keeper to the core. So Joshua, by the way, his Hebrew name, when you translate it into the Greek, guess what it is? Jesus. Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. And that's the name of the king that would come. So Jesus ascended from Gilgal. He and all the angels and the people that war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And Jesus's attitude, Joshua's attitude was, I don't care what you did. I'm in covenant with you and I'm going to come to your rescue. Jesus' attitude is, listen, I don't care what you did. I'm in covenant with you, and I want to come to your rescue. Just turn to me. Just call to me in your need. And the Lord said to Joshua, Listen, you shouldn't have made a covenant with that man. You should have prayed. You should have sought me. Joshua, you messed up. So you know what? The covenant's void. No. The Lord said, listen, Joshua, I'm going to honor your integrity. Don't fear them, for I have delivered all these kings into your hand, and not a man shall stand before you. You see, integrity is doing the right thing, even if nobody but God agrees. Stay with me. Verse 9 is important, because most of us in this room wouldn't have done that, or what we're about to read. Joshua therefore came upon them what? Suddenly. Meaning he didn't drag his feet. He didn't move slow, hoping that the kings would kill him before they got there. But he ran to the battle for an imperfect covenant partner. The Bible says, having marched all night, 8 hours from Gilgal. This march was about 20 miles and a climb of over 3,000 feet. Every step was uphill. And the whole army did it all night long while singing this song. It's not in the Bible, but this is what I heard. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough to keep me from you. And by the way, this is an imperfect, lying, cheating, deceiving covenant partner that Joshua marches all night long to rescue. And if a man operated in that level of integrity, how much more God? So the Lord routed them before Israel. Joshua kept his covenant with Gibeon. So God kept his covenant with Joshua. The only hope that some people have is their connection to us, and that we maintain our connection to God. Verse 11. And it happened. By the way, the Bible says the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving. That unbelieving spouse only hope may be you. So you need to live this thing. Walk this thing. Verse 11. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven. Now, hail is part of the natural order. We even have hail around here. But what's amazing is God can take special aim, even with natural things, use special timing to accomplish his purposes. And it says, there were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with their sword. God's work was even greater than Israel's work. And when you operate by integrity, when you start honoring your covenants and your word, God's work will be greater than anything you could ever do. But it's only after Israel kept their covenant that God did his thing. Now, I've been married for 25 years. Yeah. Technically. I remember when I walked down the aisle, I saw this beautiful girl shivering underneath the veil. Man, she's beautiful. It's incredible. I walked down the aisle. Oh, God. It's awesome. Couldn't wait to get out of the room and just be with her. Too much information. But the fact is, I can't say that was really the day we got married. We got married. I don't know how to say this. I got married when she wouldn't cook the food I wanted her to cook. I got married when she didn't come to bed when I wanted her to come to bed. I got married when she wouldn't do what I asked her to do. You see, before, we were in love. But I wasn't married until I said, baby, this ain't even about you and me. It ain't about what you do, don't do, how you do it. It's about me and my God. I made an oath before my Father in heaven. This is more about my character than your character. Now, she's a great woman. I don't know how to say this differently. But all of us will have these moments and these points. And what I want to say to you is some of y'all walk down the aisle, but you ain't never got married. You had a ceremony. But the marriage does not begin until it's not about her, not about him, but you and your God.
This has been Live Big with Derek Greer. Join us next time as we continue this teaching. It is our sincere prayer that you are blessed and empowered to live a life bigger than yourself today. If you want to know more about becoming a Christian or want to rededicate your life to Christ, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. Visit gracechurchva.org/salvation to find out more. That's all for today. Until next time, live big.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.